Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hey, friends, and welcome to the show. Listen, you are going to want to go get a cup of coffee. You're going to want to get in a comfy chair. Go pull off to the side of the carpool line and just get comfortable because we're going to have a really heartfelt conversation today. I am so delighted to have my friends, Mo and Sherry Mays. I've known them for a long, long time, longer than we care to admit. Nobody's going to say how long it's been, right? We're going to keep that a secret. But Mo, after 30 plus years, more than 30 years as a firefighter and an EMT, the Lord called Mo into full-time ministry, where he served for 17 years as a minister in a local church. And he also serves as a chaplain with a local police department and crisis response teams. God called Mo to meet people where they are and to minister to those in the community who are hurting, sick, dealing with death or trauma, or in basically any need of pastoral services. If you're in trouble, we all call Mo. Now, Mo carries endorsements by the Baptist General Convention of Texas and the International Conference of Police Chaplains, and he is the founder of Pastoral and Chaplain Services, PCS Ministries. He's been married to his wife, Sherry, for 44 years, such a wonderful testament of a godly marriage, and they have 3 children and 5 grandchildren. So, Mo and Sherry, welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
We are so happy to have you here. So tell us your story. You have such a sweet story of meeting. How did you grow up and get married? Because you clearly got married, you know, when you were very, very young, because you know yes. how old you are now. So tell us your story.
Well, Mo and I met at church in the youth group when we were, I guess, freshmen, and hung out together growing up in the same youth group. He would come over to my house when we had the youth over and called my mom, and we were just really good friends. Had our first job together at a school supply store when we were 15, and but he had a girlfriend, and I dated other guys, and his mother passed away very unexpectedly when we were 16, and I remember it was just heart-wrenching for me to see him grieving so much, but I wanted to comfort him, you know, but I was just a friend and we were young, so the only thing I needed to do really was just to pray for him. And no one really knew it, but I kind of had a little crush on him. And when I guess we were both 18, one night he asked me out after church on a Sunday night to get ice cream, January the 21st actually of 1979. It was Super Bowl Sunday, and we went and got ice cream, and kind of the rest was history. 3 days later, he told me he loved me, and I realized God had been answered. He was answering my prayers for a husband, and 3 months later, we were engaged, and 3 months later after that, we were married.
And let's tell the truth, Mo. You were smitten from day one.
Like, of course.
Yes, you have been madly in love
with
this woman.
She was way out of my league.
Still is, right?
Right.
No.
I'm married up.
Well, during this time, you became a firefighter, and right. that was your job. So tell us about those early days and what you did in your career as a firefighter and how really God shaped you as a first responder. Experiencing that, I'm sure you never saw coming that you would eventually be ministering to first responders. But tell us about the early days of those experiences.
Well, early on, I grew up around a volunteer fire department in Pasadena and became a volunteer after Sherry and I got married. And I actually got hurt being a volunteer, which doesn't pay well.
Zero.
So my wife said, if you wanted to serve people in that capacity, you'll get paid for it. So in 1981, I went into the Houston Fire Academy, and I guess the rest is history as far as that goes, but served all over the city in different ways, and, you know, delivering babies, putting out fires, just being with people in their worst days. You know, it's just, it's hard to see that sometimes when families are going through crisis. So I can see where the Lord used those years to to mold me into what he wanted me to be.
And how was that, you know, as a young man facing life and death every single day? Yes. How did you cope with that, and how did that shape your faith?
Well, believe me, I prayed for protection a number of times, because when you go into some buildings and stuff, you don't know what's going to happen in there. You know, I was injured a couple of times, fortunately, not very seriously, but we're there to, first off, save lives and protect people from being injured or hurt any worse, and then secondly, property protection. So it just molded me in a way that I just wanted to help people.
Yeah, I've seen that in your heart, like always, just whatever it is, wanting to help people. And I think it obviously takes a special calling to help people on their worst day in that. And Sherry, during this time, you know, here you are having three babies and trying to hold the house down and dealing, you know, with that, you know, when Mo comes home and he has seen these things that he's got to hold it all together. I'm sure that created some unique challenges for you. What was that like?
Well, it was hard sometimes. I would sense sometimes that he was burdened, and he internalized it. He would get real quiet, and I wouldn't know really what he had experienced on his shift. And sometimes it would be a lot later that he would finally share some of it with me. But I knew, because you know how much it affected him, and sometimes I would hear him say that they had joked about things that were really, really tragic. But in his fire station, the senior, you know, like the officers, that's how they coped back then, and they didn't have a way to, I guess, unpack the trauma. They joked about it a lot, and so I know it was crass, but there were things that would really, really get to him, and I know it was deaths of children, you know, experiences like that that were really hard. And sometimes he would get to a point that he really couldn't talk about it, but he would just weep. And I would just hold him because that's all I knew to do. And, of course, pray. Lots and lots of praying went on. I would always pray for him because not only was he dealing with, you know, life and death situations all the time, but his life was on the line, you know, firefighting. And at that time is when the AIDS epidemic started in the 80s. And, you know, they were...
That's fear.
I've never been in those situations, but I've seen just some of the things on TV, and he would tell me, I mean, they, when you're picking people up off the street or in houses in a, very traumatic ways... blood spattered everywhere. I would pray for God to protect him from disease, needle sticks, things like that, to keep him healthy. And he did. Yes. The Lord did.
And now looking back, you know, you've had so much experience with this. What advice would you give to spouses who are out there, who are right now thinking, this is me? Like, my spouse is out there doing this, riding in the back of an ambulance, driving a police car, responding to things. You mentioned the importance of prayer. Do you have any other things, or would you emphasize that? What should they do? How can they best be a support?
Well, I think the number one thing is to pray for them. Because God, he sees and knows it all. And really, God is the protector. And so I would just say to pray daily for them, you know, that God would just put a hedge of protection around them physically, emotionally, spiritually, and to be present in their lives, to be sensitive when they are home, to be sensitive to their moods. If they seem very quiet, they may have experienced something really traumatic. I mean, it happened all the time. And I know for the most part, I didn't hear probably 90 or 95% of it. It was the really, really traumatic things that eventually sometimes he would break down and share with me. But I think just to be by their side, just be really present and be available. I think to be emotionally available to your spouse and to let them know it's safe, you know, that you're a safe place for them to let go of some of their burdens and the trauma.
Well, you know, you said something really interesting thinking about this is in the 80s. This is not when we were talking about the importance of mental health in first responders. It was just basically suck it up. This is your job. Like, get tough and
you push it down and go on to the next.
Yes, exactly. And my husband actually told me that not too long ago because he had learned to push things down. He said, you know, now I'm getting to be over 50. If I push it down long enough, maybe I'll just go be with the Lord before I have to deal with it. And I said, honey, that is not, we are not doing that. But I think, you know, now that we know what we know, it's so much better. But Sherry, you were really a forerunner of what we know now, that it's not so much even about counseling or medication, although those things can be important tools. It's about having somebody just there, caring about you, understanding, you know, just walking through and bearing your burdens. And that really makes a difference. And we can see, I know, I'm confident that God provided you with the ability to support Mo that would set him up for ministry later on. And that is so important and such a beautiful thing to have watched. Well, during all of this time, you know, you're responding to emergencies, but you had an emergency of your own with a really scary experience with your daughter. So what happened?
We were in a, we were in a local pool, there that, and all three of them were very small, and Matt, our oldest, was learning to swim. We were watching him and, we had put Melissa in a towel and dried her off and set her at the bench behind us, and we were getting Mason out of his floaty because he was just a little thing. And
one.
At one time, he was little.
And, you've got tall boys here. The people got to know on the radio, like well over 6 foot. So I can't imagine Mason that small, but I know it was there one time.
I was trying to teach her how to float and stuff on her back, and she had slipped back in behind us in the pool with people around and everything. Nobody even saw her. And
lifeguards, there was two lifeguards in the stands, and it was the day before, the Sunday afternoon before the first day of school. Matthew was starting first grade, and you know, there's kids splashing all around, and he had set her out because we were gathering them up, and all of a sudden I looked up and I didn't see her on the bench, and I looked over at him and said, "Where's Melissa?" And he said, "I don't know. She was on the bench." And I started hollering, and I had Mason in my arms, and I looked down, and she was at the bottom of the pool. Mm. And, you know, I started screaming and saying, "Call 911. And the little lifeguards jumped down, and I started moving in the pool towards her. That end was about, I don't know, three and a half feet deep. And anyway, I just remember handing my baby off to another lady in the pool and just crying out loud, "Baby, Jesus, please save my baby."
Well, I had scooped her up and laid her on the side of the pool and didn't get out of the pool. And I remember even as a firefighter, I kind of lost it for a minute.
Of course,
and
Daddy.
Because unfortunately, in weeks previous, I'd lost drownings at work. And those started coming back, and when I saw her face, but fortunately the Lord woke me up, and I started CPR on her, and water came up, and she started screaming, and it was the best sound I ever heard.
Oh, I bet. I can't imagine. What was that like? Like going from being a first responder, responding to all of that, and then all of a sudden, it's your own daughter.
Yes, it's a total different situation when it's family.
It absolutely is. Really, I feel that way as a nurse practitioner, but when my kids are sick or hurt, like I am just, I lose all capacity for rational thought. But God saved her and he spared her life. She has a beautiful family. She's an incredible artist.
Yes.
She just paints and does all kinds of beautiful things. Well, when we come back, we're going to continue to explore Mo and Sherry's story of grief and loss, but finding hope and finding God to be faithful in the midst of that. So if that is you and you're experiencing this and you want to know how in the world you can find hope in these circumstances, don't go away. We'll be right back.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, because of you, Preborn's network of clinics saw over 58,000 babies saved. Thank you to all who made this possible. Let's celebrate these precious babies. Daisy and her husband had decided they never wanted kids. And when she found out she was pregnant, she immediately thought abortion. But after she and her husband met her baby on ultrasound and heard the heartbeat, their hearts melted and they chose life. Her baby Jeffrey is healthy and beautiful, and Daisy and her husband can't even imagine life without him. Each of these babies are truly miraculous, and every day, Preborn celebrates 200 miracles. $28 a month can be the difference between the life and death of a child. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection that doubles a baby's chance at life. Let's join together and help mothers choose life. Just dial pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250 baby, or visit preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
You're listening to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show with Dr. Jessica Peck on American Family Radio.
Well, hey, friends, and welcome back to our conversation with Mo and Sherry Mays. Mo is the executive director and the founder of Pastoral and Chaplain Services. Now, if you missed the first segment, we talked about how he and Sherry met and they got married, and Mo became a firefighter, and, you know, the struggles that were there in being a first responder, which I hadn't even thought about. Sherry, when you mentioned, you know, that was at the beginning of the AIDS crisis, there are just so many different fears, you know, but it always seems like there's something new. Now there's fentanyl on the street, and we worry about those kinds of things. And for first responders, it's always an emerging threat. But you shared the experience of your daughter having a near-death experience of her own, but God mercifully sparing her. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's for me, sitting on the outside watching y'all's journey of faithfulness and seeing the intersection of this whole emergency first responder and meeting people on their worst days, and God having you have that experience and allowing some of those painful things in your life, but still seeing you say God is good, it just almost defies all understanding. I think there's a lot of people who think, how can you still say that? Because then what happened, Sherry, is you lost your brother in a car accident. Yeah. And tell us about that experience and how that shaped your faith.
Well, on a Monday afternoon, 1999, it was June the 14th, I received a phone call from my sister-in-law up in Dallas saying that my brother had been killed. And, I mean, it literally just took my breath away. And Mo was across town. Two of our children were at church camp. They were up in East Texas. And it's just those words, to get something like that in a phone call, that information is just... it's just a gut kick. I had to call Mo and tell him. And I remember I called him, and then I called the church office. And one of our pastors came over, Roger Patterson. And then they called a friend, Carl Ford, who's now gone to be with Jesus. But they asked her to come help me just to get my thoughts together, because we were going to have to get on a plane. But that was just a devastating thing. I was very close to Mitchell. He was my youngest brother, and he was killed in a horrific car accident on a beautiful sunny day. And several others passed away, and it changed our family. We had to go tell my parents. Mo, we drove over to tell them in person, and that's just something that no one ever, ever wants to go through. And then, you know, we went up to the Dallas, Fort Worth, Arlington area where they lived, and had to drive to camp and pick up our children and tell them face to face. But it did change my life. The grief was overwhelming. And I would cry at random times, and my kids would look at me and say, Mom, you're thinking about Uncle Mitch, aren't you? And I'd say, yes, I am. And I guess it went on for about a year, and finally I just prayed and asked the Lord, like, Lord, please help me to deal with this better. I needed peace. And I knew Mitchell was saved. I mean, I knew he was with the Lord, but the grief was just so strong. And So about a year later, one night I had a dream, and it was from the Lord. And in my dream, Mitchell was there, and it was so vivid. The colors were colors I'd never seen, and it was just thousands and thousands of people, and their hands were lifted, and they were praising the Lord, and they were looking toward a light, you know, which I know must have been the Lord. But when I was entered, Mitchell saw me, and he turned around, and he called me by my name that he called me. It was, "Hey, Sissy," which was my nickname. And he ran towards me, and he grabbed me and hugged me. He was 6'4". And then shortly thereafter, I woke up. But God, he gave me that dream to give me peace, because I was able to deal with my grief so much better. There were nearly as many tears after that. He comforted me. The Lord comforted me with that dream. And I know it's because I had prayed and asked him to help me mm-hmm. with my grief journey. And he left a wife and two beautiful little girls, and they're all grown and so accomplished now. One of them just graduated with her master's degree the other day. And we're so proud of her in counseling.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Wow. And the other one is in the medical field, and they're both married, and we're so proud of them. And so, yeah, it is a very difficult journey, but the Lord has proven to be faithful.
I think that's so beautiful. And we know that God uses dreams, because he mm-hmm. did that all throughout the Bible. And mm-hmm. so to be to have that experience, I can't imagine how beautiful that must have been, and the comfort that it brought to your heart. And Mo, here you are once again, finding yourself in a situation where you're really a first responder, mm-hmm. but in a family sense. And how did you cope with that and guide your family through that? Because you've got three young kids at home, you've got teenagers who are wondering, like, how can good, you know, bad things happen to good people? How did you lead your family through that?
Well, as Sherry shared, that was probably my very first death notification that I had to go tell her parents that their son went to be with the Lord. And of course, was something that I dread and didn't want to do, and was very hard, but the Lord gave me strength to do that. As Sherry was talking, you know, I used to have a hard time understanding what 2 Corinthians 1:3 really was telling us. Mm-hmm. But you know, after losing my mother when I was 16 mm-hmm. and going through the traumas in the fire service and the near drowning with Melissa, and then Mitchell's death, we, you know, 2 Corinthians tells us, "Praise be to the Lord, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those mm-hmm. in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God." That's a verse that Sherry and I have to live by, you know, that God takes us through these things, but gives us the ability and the strength to comfort others in their time of crisis.
And we saw you really start to do that, because it was around that time that you transitioned full time into church ministries. And let me tell you, I don't even know how many people you've baptized or how many people you've led to the Lord, Sherry, how many meals that you have brought to somebody, how many times y'all have gone to the emergency room, gone to the hospital. I mean, really, it feels like the Lord prepared you both to minister together and to be there for your church family. And I know there will be so many people listening to this who will say, "Yeah, that was me. He led me to the Lord. You know, they came and they were there and they held my hand when this hard thing happened." And I think, you know, that's one of the reasons why that you are so well loved. And in doing that, you really are showing the love of Jesus. You're right. Just being the hands and feet of Jesus and living out that verse mm-hmm. that you just shared with us. And really, I think, you know, it seems like you had gotten in a comfortable place where you were in your ministry, but God started to call you to something different.
Yes, early in the 90s, you know, none of these things I ever dreamed of or thought I was really worthy of, but I had the opportunity, Sherry and I, to go into ministry at our church teaching young marrieds.
That, and me. Me and my husband, you did.
Man,
what a challenge was that. Need some sort of, fiery Italian meets quiet, shy girl. Like, we had some issues.
Yeah, quiet, shy girl. Yeah, yes, that's right, yes. Exactly. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We had the opportunity to teach in the young marrieds, and it was nearly and newly is what we started with. Mm-hmm. We just enjoyed that, being able to pour into young couples, and God gave us a position there to minister, and it just led to more and more. Where God finally moved me into full-time ministry about 2005 is when I went in. I started working part-time at the church, and then as my role grew there, mm-hmm. and the church licensed me as a minister, I started doing weddings and all those things that you're able to do as a minister, and I just always took it as an honor to be able to be in that position. It was never an expectation of mine. It was just I'm just honored to be put or be asked to be in such a personal place in a time of family's crisis in a funeral or their happy time in a
wedding. Yeah.
So it just has been a true blessing in what God's called me to do.
But then he moved your heart to do something different and call you to something you never saw coming. And you woke up. Didn't God speak to you in the night?
The Spirit woke me up. And that's a big thing because I don't wake up. I'm not a morning person. Mm-hmm.
Well, I remember distinctly. It's February 23rd. It's been almost 3 years ago.
Yeah. Wow.
Because he woke me up to tell me he was leaving, and it was about 4:30 in the morning. But he was going on a walk, and I was like, okay. I rolled back over, went back to sleep, but I thought, wow, it was highly unusual.
Yeah. But I just was urged to walk, and so I started walking on our path or around the house and just praying, and the Lord speaking to me, and he made it very clear that he wanted me to meet people where they are. Mm-hmm. And that isn't always in the church. Mm-hmm. So I knew that he was transitioning me outside the church. I'd been a part of the Galveston County CISM team, which supports first responders, and we try to keep them healthy to keep them in their jobs, you mm-hmm. know. Through my chaplaincy program and stuff like that, I was called to Santa Fe, and I was called out after the Astro World incident in Houston and the tragedies in Galveston at Galveston Ball High School and, different incidents like that. And I think God was preparing me for this ministry to meet people where they are.
And how did that go from God preparing you, waking you up at 4:30 in the morning, scaring Sherry, and I'm going on a walk and really early. And how did that come to be? Like, how did that become PCS Ministries?
Well, I actually have the second morning, the same thing happened. Mm-hmm. This happened two mornings in a row. The first morning, I came back and Sherry was waiting on me and it's very emotional. Mm-hmm. But I felt like the Lord told me that I needed to call three men. So I called
to pray for him,
to pray about what God was laying on my heart. And I called Eddie Simmons, Roger Patterson, and Ron Stafford, which was our youth minister and a minister missionary to Columbia.
Wow.
And, you know, all three of those are pastors. Mm-hmm. Y'all both know Roger and, mm-hmm. and Eddie, great men of God. And of course, their wives.
Mm-hmm.
All six of those started praying for this. And the next morning I came home and I wrote it on paper, pastoral and chaplain services and a heart and a cross is what I visualized. And I still have that paper that I wrote mm-hmm. on. And, you know, it was the start of what we've begun now. And, God just put that on my heart, and that I didn't know what the heart and the cross meant,
mm-hmm.
But that became what my tagline is, where compassion meets grace.
Mm.
The heart and the cross came together, and that's what God has given me, the compassion for people.
Well, and I want to read this off of your website. You say that pastoral and chaplain services seeks to provide soul care in a Christ-like manner to those who are hurting in their marriage, grieving a loss, or those affected by traumatic situations. We strive to offer caregiving resources that meet the emotional and spiritual needs of those in our community seeking help. You're here to help those seeking family support services, marriage counseling and wedding officiants, grief support and funeral officiants. We are committed to providing care from a Christ-centered and biblically based perspective. We recognize the Word of God as the ultimate source of truth, and endorse and utilize only those psychological principles and techniques that are compatible with Scripture. And I can see, Mo, sitting from the outside, how God had prepared you and Sherry's hearts to share, just to walk out exactly that Scripture that you shared, to be with people on their worst day and offer them the best kind of hope. Sherry, I see you wrote something down. I want to know what you were thinking. When we come back, you hold that thought, and we are going to explore that more. We'll talk more when we come back about pastoral and chaplain services, PCS Ministries. And you may think that Mo and Sherry's story is remarkable, but their hardest day was still ahead, and they will share with you the recent loss of their son and how that has impacted their ministry. You are not going to want to miss hearing about Matthew and his life and his legacy. We'll be right back.
Podcasts of the Dr. Nurse Mama Show are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Dr. Jessica Peck on American Family Radio.
Well, hello, friends, and welcome back to our conversation with Mo and Sherry Mays, a truly amazing couple who has been such a powerful influence in my life. I cannot even tell you how much they have ministered to me and countless others. As I said before the break, I know there are people listening thinking, yep, Mo did our premarital counseling. Yep, they did our wedding. They baptized us. They were there when our babies were born. Sherry hosted my shower, because I think you've probably hosted, like, I don't know, 14,736 showers about now. Yes, they have invested their lives into their children, and not only their children, but anyone else's kids. I mean, really, and now your grandkids. And before the break, we were talking about God moving Mo from being a first responder to being a first responder for first responders, which is really incredible. And Sherry, you have a thought you want to share.
Oh, I was just going to, when he mentioned the cross and the heart, it did become his logo for the ministry. And our daughter, Melissa, kind of took that and ran with it. And we tried to change up the name of the business, because we were thinking, well, if this is what God gave you, maybe there's something that would sound better, you know, moving the words around. Mm-hmm. Chaplain and pastoral services, you know, we kind of tweaked it some. And then it was time to get the
domain. Our dear friend Christine Turner, she helped us with all that. She's all tech savvy. She said, "Mo, we really need to purchase a domain for your website." And so we gave her like three different options of names. And within a day or two, she came back and she said, "The only one that's available is Pastoral and Chaplain Services," which was interesting because it was the exact thing that Mo had written down on, I guess, February 23rd of 2021.
Wow. No other option was available.
All the others.
So God was saying, "This one, yeah. Right. This one."
I told you what it was. You know, listen to me.
It was such an affirmation of God's call, and you know, the fact that he literally had written that down on a piece of copy paper that morning when he came back, when God had woken him up and told him to walk. And it was just like a big prayer walk, this conversation with the Lord. And so I was smiling when he was telling that.
Well, during this time, you know, you had faced a lot of hard things. I mean, a lot of difficult things. But there was, in the midst of all of that, really the unimaginable happened.
Yeah.
And you got the phone call that no parent ever, ever wants to get. Can you tell us about that experience?
Well, I kind of want to start with what the Lord gave us. He gave us a family. You know, Matthew was the first, then Melissa and Mason. You know, we always knew those were gifts from God and that he put them in our care here on earth, which he's their father. You know, I'm their earthly father. But we all, you know, I always remembered that. Now, I, you know, you know, Sherry poured into all three of them so much through the years. I was gone so much during those times as a firefighter, a lot of hours, but scheduled my business around on the side to coach baseball and Cub Scouts and all that kind of stuff. But you know, Sherry kept them in church when I, you know, a lot of times I couldn't go, you know, but just wanted to start with that, that our acknowledgement of the gift that God gave us in a family.
Yeah. Well, December the 17th of 2022, we received a phone call, Mo did, about 5:57 in the morning. And I heard his phone ring, and then I heard him just start weeping and saying, "No, no, no." And it was Keith calling Mo to tell him that Matthew had passed away in a boating accident. They had gone duck hunting that morning, and Keith was one of Matt's very best friends. And it is a nightmare. It is the phone call that you pray you never get. And so we got up to get ready, and we had to call our kids over.
Yeah.
And Mo called Eddie, and Eddie and his wife, Beverly, came over to pray with us before we left because we had to leave to, they said, go to a hospital. But that was a devastating day. And I don't know how we get through it except for the grace of God. We're very close to all of our children. We were very close to Matthew. He had never married. And driving down that morning to Angleton, I guess, is the hospital where they sent us, I just remember saying over and over, I didn't understand why God didn't answer my prayer, you know, as I was weeping. And we were all just stunned and in shock. And that prayer had been, you know, Matthew, my first prayer for my children after we'd had them, we dedicated each one of them to the Lord when they were babies. The next prayer was, "Lord, you know, we pray that they accept you as their Savior. We wanted to see them saved and baptized and living their life for the Lord." And then, of course, we prayed for their spouse, that they, God would bring them a Christian spouse. And Matthew had not really found that person. He had had a couple of serious relationships, but that morning all I could think of was, "Lord, why didn't you ever bring him that Christian woman?" But anyway, it was it's a day that is seared in our memories, and it's just been a little over a year, and we have found that God is faithful. And that very night, Jessica, you sat on our couch and prayed with me.
we had so many people in and out of our house, and you asked me, did I know that Matthew was seeing someone? And I said, no, not really. And you suggested I talk to Keith, mm-hmm. Because she didn't know. And the next day I did, and come to find out, Matthew had met someone very special, and he had actually told her the night before that he loved her. Mm-hmm. And he had told Keith all about her. And so we know that when God took Matthew, that he had actually answered my prayers, and Matthew had found love, and a Christian girl, a Baptist girl, that's what he had wanted specifically. He had told Keith she checked every box.
She and was
Keith
a duck said, hunter, too.
Oh, I and mean, yes, on top dream. Of all that, she was a duck hunter.
Oh, my goodness.
Which was just amazing, but she was still a lady, you know, very feminine and a school teacher. And he had talked to Keith, and he said, Keith, I don't know, you know, how important is that you share something that you enjoy with someone that you're going to marry? And Keith said, dude, it's really important. He said, set the hook. You know, a fisherman's term, set the hook. Don't let her get away. Well, anyway, she is a lovely person, and we grieve for Matthew every day, but we also know that he is with our Lord and Savior, and that we will always be with him. One thing I want to share really quick, Matthew spent 20 years in the Air Force.
Yes.
He went in when he was 18, committed when he was 17, and when he was in basic training, the first letter he wrote home to us, he wrote in there that the only way he could get through this was with his faith in his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I have always treasured that letter. I knew Matthew was saved, but his faith was real. And I know it's what sustained him through Operation Iraqi Freedom when he was in the war, and throughout many difficult seasons in his life. His faith sustained him. And that's what I want people to know about our son. And we know that we'll all be together in eternity. And Matthew's favorite verse was 2 Timothy 4:7. And I would just like to share that really quick. Mm-hmm. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And that was his favorite verse from the time he was about 10. Mm-hmm. And you know, and we didn't know that he would end up being in the military, being a warrior. He had received medals. One thing that we didn't really know until after he passed away was that Matthew was truly a good Samaritan. Mm-hmm. And we had different people from different walks of life that did not know one another come up to us after his funeral, and in the weeks, months following it, they would just reach out to us. We wouldn't even know who they were, and tell us stories about how Matthew had ministered to them when they were broken down on the side of the freeway, when they were in a dark place. We heard that over and over again. I was in a dark place. I was really down. And Matthew showed up, and he encouraged me. And it was men and women, some of his friends, and some were strangers when he would stop and help people. It was so funny. He never met a stranger. They would usually find that they had a connection amongst friends. Mm-hmm. And our kids even were told stories, Melissa and Mason. People would come up and say, your brother helped me. He stopped and, you know, got my truck running, helped me fix the tire. Just different stories like that. And that's a great testimony to have, to be a good Samaritan.
Well, how do you do that, Sherry? Because, you know, you're right. Matthew was one of those courageous young men who, in the wake of 9/11, said, I am going to fight for my country. Mm-hmm. And he did. He was deployed. He experienced a lot of trauma there. He saw a lot of things that no young man should ever have to see. And I know you both prayed for him to come home safely. Mm-hmm. And he did. And here you are saying, yes, I prayed him through the war. Mm-hmm. He came home and we prayed for him to find a girl. He found a girl, and then he went home to be with Jesus. And how do you not be bitter and say, God, why? Like, why did he survive through the war, but then he dies in a boating accident, you know, just something totally random? Or, you know, you're grateful for him finding love instead of thinking this could have been. How do you not be bitter?
When Matthew was in Iraq, one night, people would always ask me, how are you doing, Sherry, at church? I'm praying for Matthew. How are you doing? And I really had a strong exterior. And I said, oh, I'm doing good, you know. But really inside, I was very scared. And one night when I was home by myself and Mo was at the fire station, I really had a come to Jesus meeting with the Lord. I just broke down and literally just cried out to God in our bedroom and said, God, why? Why is my son over there in this foreign land fighting for people that I don't know? I didn't understand it. You know, he was young and we thought if he went in the Air Force, he wouldn't see battle and all that. None of that ended up being true. But the Lord, it was in my spirit, but it almost seemed audible. It was like, Sherry, I have Matthew in my hands, whether he is in Iraq or whether he would have been at home. I knew he was keeping him. And he said, I'm going to protect him. And when it's time, I'll take him home. And when I laid down on my bed and I opened my Bible and it opened up to Psalms, I believe it's 144. And when I started reading it, it was how he prepares the young man's hands for war. Mm. It's a beautiful, but also a very poignant chapter. And it is about war and battle and God's the stronghold. And it was a surreal moment, like very real. God was speaking directly to me that I have Matthew in the palm of my hand, and he did. And I knew from that moment on that no matter what happened, it was God's timing and God's provision. And we had him for 39 and a half years. And I am so grateful for that. I am so grateful to the Lord. His name means gift of the Lord. That's what Matthew means. And he was so loving to Mo and I. All of our children are, but because he was single and hadn't had children, which he really desired, he was always available for us, you know.
and such a great uncle.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Fun uncle. He loved his niece and nephews and was the fun uncle. You know, yes. He was always the fun of all the parties. But when you are faced with life and death situations, I don't know. The only thing I could do was trust God. And I still trust God in the hardest days because I know that that's where he's at. He's with the Lord, and I know that I will be with him and Jesus forever.
You know, when the Lord took Matt home, of course, as a dad, it doesn't matter how old they are. You still think, well, what could I have done to protect him? Mm-hmm. And I struggled with that. But I kept crying out to the Lord. I said, "What you got to? You say there's a purpose. You got to show me." What's 8:28 in Romans tells us, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. And I just cried out to the Lord. I said, "You've got to show me the purpose for this. This is hard," and He has been faithful.
Well, we're all crying here. I can't even say any words. Listen, if you want to know more about Mo and Sherry's ministries, go to pcsministries.org. That is Pastoral and Chaplain Services, PCS Ministries. You can find out how you can access their services and how you can support them. How they're a 501c3. You can donate to the work that they are doing. And I have no other words except to say that it doesn't make sense, but here is their testimony. They have said that God is faithful. God is faithful. There's no more to say than that.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.